Hello, welcome to the ADHD in Isolation podcast, where we talk all things ADHD.
So, for the audience, Anna is someone who I was put in touch with through the youth group, through Wendy, who worked at the youth group, and Wendy knew Anna before the youth group, I believe, and Wendy kind of helped Anna when she was younger, and then Anna then ended up working at the youth group. And that's really all I know about Anna. So I was hoping that you could please give me a kind of introduction to yourself.
Well, I'm Anna. I'm 21 years old. And my involvement in the ADHD group goes back when I was 16 at the time. I first moved out with difficulties in my family home. And when I was there, it was like a youth hostel and it had workers there that supported you. And at that time, I was struggling a lot with my ADHD and they got me in touch with Wendy, who works at the ADHD group. And she befriended me and we used to do group things together with how I was feeling about things or if it was just an activity to get me out and about. We've done some socialising and stuff because we did meet up a few times where it was just one-to-one work that we'd do together or just specific activities like making brownies or making soup or going out seeing places, going to McDonald's. And then I was introduced to the ADHD group. I was a bit older than the kids because I was 16 and the kids were a lot younger. They were probably about 12, 13 years old. So there was an age gap, but I was there to kind of see what the group was all about and, you know, kind of support in a way. And then me and Wendy that wasn't for me at that time, at that age. I wasn't really into doing all that kind of stuff. But now I'm a bit older now and I realise that my ADHD has affected me in my upbringing. And I just want to give something back, so that's why I got back in touch with Wendy to volunteer with the ADHD group and with the kids, because I know for myself, from my experience, that it was hard growing up knowing that you have a diagnosis and you feel different, you know, and you're just judged a lot and you're mistaken for a badly behaved child. Like, there's a lot of preconceptions with ADHD, so yeah, I just volunteered because I wanted to give something back and support children in a way for where I was in the past and like make a difference, to know that there's nothing wrong with having ADHD. There's a lot of pros with ADHD. Like I believe that having ADHD is actually, there's a lot of advantages of having it. So yeah, that's basically it really. Just wanted to give back and help people where I was.
How old were you when you were diagnosed?
I was in primary school. I think I was in primary three, primary four.
And why do you think the people around you thought that you might have ADHD? What were you like at that age?
I mean, every child's hyperactive, but my hyperactivity was a lot more than normal. I was easily distracted a lot in classrooms, like with learning. And like in the classroom, you know, you would all sit down in a seat. You would all be expected to sit down in a seat, sit still, listen, answer questions, put your hand up to talk in and stuff. But with me, I had so much energy, I couldn't sit still. I was fidgety. I was getting up, walking about the classroom, doing things while the teacher was trying to teach a lesson. Yeah, so I think that kind of turned heads a bit, that I did have a lot of energy and I didn't know how to control it, if you know what I mean.
Do you think your peers, the kids around you, your age at the time, what do you think they thought about you?
It does come across to me that I was a bit different. I was not crazy, but a bit wild, like, oh, go get Anna to do this, she'll do it, she won't care. Or, you know, oh, I dare you to do this because I know I'll do stuff, because I wasn't afraid to do it. No, I was just like, okay, I wouldn't think before I'd done things.
Were you quite well liked when you were younger?
I was quite well liked. Like, I would speak to everybody and everyone. I remember I got described as a butterfly by one of my teachers in high school, actually. I was described as a butterfly because I would flutter around and speak to everyone, but I would never stay in one group. I would never stay for a long time. I would always, you know.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah. So it was quite difficult. Like, I was accepted, but not all the time. Like, a lot of people would have a judgment where I was a badly behaved kid. So some parents wouldn't want me to be friends with their children because I was seen as different and I was seen as wild. But I wasn't a badly behaved child. I just had ADHD.
Did you ever get into, like, really bad trouble? Like, I'm talking about, like, beyond getting told to leave the classroom or whatever. Did you ever do then? Were you ever in trouble with the police or anything like that?
Yeah. School was very difficult. Not so much in primary school. I would get told off and get told to leave the classroom. But in high school, it was more serious in a way. I kind of got into a bad crowd at high school. And my ADHD was a lot worse. And I didn't know how to control it. And I was going through kind of like a rebellious stage where I felt different. Nobody understood me. I actually got bullied from quite a lot of teachers as well. So my way was just acting out instead of talking about it because I wouldn't feel I was listened to because I was just seen as this badly behaved girl. But I wasn't. I was actually just struggling within myself because it was hard to come to terms with. I was different. I had a diagnosis and I didn't really understand it fully. Yeah, so it was difficult and I used to get in a lot of trouble. I used to get told to leave the classroom. I got expelled quite a lot. There was one time where it was really bad that the teachers actually said to my mum that they couldn't have me back until they put more support in place for me because they didn't know how to deal with me. That's what they said. So I was out of school for 2 months because they didn't want me in school because they didn't know how to support me. So that was difficult in a way.
How do you mean teachers bullied you?
I think it was a lack of understanding, to be honest, because I wasn't a problem in a classroom if the teacher treated me with respect and if I enjoyed the subject. But some teachers, they would just see, the way I see it, I think those teachers would see me acting out, being hyper, and just automatically think that I was misbehaving on purpose. But I was young, I was a child, like I didn't know how to control all these emotions, I didn't know how to sit down and be able to learn. I needed one-to-one support. And I think that was their lack of understanding that I remember I was in class and I was making funny noises because I don't just have ADHD, I have Tourette's as well. So I would make funny noises and I remember the teacher turned around and said to me in front of the whole classroom, "Have you not taken your Ritalin today?" And I got really upset. I pushed the chair and the table out and a few nasty words were said for myself because I was hurt. It wasn't right, but it was also not right what he said to me because I was just a child. So I went out of the classroom and nothing was done about that. I told my mum and I told other teachers and stuff, the head of the school, and nothing was done because I was just seen as a badly behaved child. So yeah, I did get quite bullied quite a lot.
Did you get the sense that they'd just sort of given up on you after a certain point in the school? They just sort of felt like there was nothing they could do?
Yeah, definitely.
It wasn't a case of thinking, oh, maybe there's things that we're doing that we're not doing right, or that maybe we don't have enough resources to do it. Because you said that they said that maybe they couldn't get you back till they had more support in place.
Mm-hmm.
So from my perspective, when I was at school, I felt like, you know, a lot of trouble I got into, a fair amount of it I deserved, right?
Yeah.
But some teachers pretty early on were just like, nah, I'm not.
Yeah.
Did you find that as well?
Yeah. Like, I wasn't an angel in school. I was mischievous and I was cheeky. And I did deserve some rows and I did deserve getting sent out of the class if I was being bad or whatnot. So I do take responsibility for that. But at the same time, some teachers just didn't care. It was just easier for them to just be like, no, I'm not having her in my classroom. Do you know what I mean? It was just easier for them so they could get on with their job instead of having this one child that was disrupting the whole class. it was just easier for them to just have me out of the situation. That's the way it came across to me. I remember when I was in primary school, actually, it was round about the time I just got diagnosed. And there was this new teacher called, and I was fine in any other class, all my other classes, except from that one. And my mum was saying to the school, she's not speaking to Anna in a certain way. Because with me, I had to be speaking in a certain way. If there was like any disrespect, then I would act out, kind of, which is understandable. But we had a meeting while I was in class. And after all the observing, me in the classroom and stuff, they came to a meeting and I was in the meeting as well. And said that it is how you interact with Anna. If you don't interact with Anna in a positive way,
right,
she won't sit down and learn. You have to be one-to-one with Anna. You have to treat her with respect. And turned around and said, well, I don't have time for that. And my mum turned around and said, well, my kid has to learn as well. And my sixth Fanny said, well, you have to do this with Anna, because if that's the only way she will be able to learn, then you've got to give her that support, because she is diagnosed with ADHD. So after all that, I did try. And we used to have this book where we would write in it how I was that day, and if I would get a sticker or not, if I was goodly behaved. And yeah, it worked after that. I got on really well because she tried with me.
That's kind of a good story, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what? And your relationship was really good towards the end?
Yeah, towards the end, yeah, because she had more of an understanding.
That's quite big of her, don't you think, to kind of...
Yeah, it was big of her, because she could have easily just continued with what she initially thought, like, I've not got time for that, I've got work to do with all these other kids, but she... Like, I'm really happy that she was able to see that that was what my needs were, and she met them, and because she met them, that I was able to stay in that class and learn. Like, I didn't miss out on my education. So I'm really grateful that she done that.
If you had the opportunity to go back to your younger self, let's say in secondary school, when stuff's kind of not going well, what, you know, you've got a minute with your younger self, what do you tell your younger self that you know now that you think would save you some grief?
I think I would say to myself that kind of learn to love yourself a bit. Like, yeah, you do have ADHD, but it doesn't define who you are. Like, you are still you. You're still Anna. You're a great person. People care about you. There's just some people that don't have a lot of understanding. And if they can't understand you, then that's on them, because they're missing out on you. That's what I would say to myself. I wouldn't say to myself to change anything, because I wouldn't be the person who I am today. So it would just, you know, some self-talk saying that you are a good person. Don't let these people make you feel like you're different and like you're alien. You're you, and embrace it.
How have you got to the point where you're able to accept yourself like that and love yourself like that? Presumably that's not always been the case. What has helped you get to that point?
A lot of time, a lot of understanding. I think over the years I've matured, and I'm able to reflect on my past with me as a child. Over time, like, I wasn't very happy, and I was like, oh, I'm different, this isn't good. Like, I wish I was normal. And I would have a lot of the time I would be crying and talking to my mum, like, why am I like this? I don't want to be like this, blah, blah, blah. But I think over time and over the years that I've just learned to accept it, because I don't want to be not happy with myself, and I don't want to be, you know, not liking myself. So I think what helped me was just having more understanding about what my needs were, about my diagnosis, and just being able to see, like, everyone is different. Everyone is unique. And I remember when I was younger, actually, when I was having difficulty kind of accepting that I have ADHD, and I felt like I was different and not like everybody else. My sister, she looked up on the internet and she looked up celebrities who had ADHD. And I remember I was really upset, and she came to me and printed them all off. And she went, look, there's Will Smith. He's got ADHD. He's an actor. He's a rapper. There's Adam Levine. He's a singer and an actor. Robin Williams, he's an amazing actor on screen. Jim Carrey, he's absolutely hilarious. Like, she was just showing me that all these people have ADHD and they've exceeded in life. It's not stopped them at all. So it gave me a lot of hope. So we stuck it up in the fridge, and it was just a reminder every day that it's not only you. There's hundreds of people have ADHD, and there's hundreds of people that have done something with their life. Like, it's not, I've not held them back. So it gave me a lot of hope, and I actually started to like myself, because, I mean, there was Jim Carrey out there. He's an actor. He's absolutely hilarious. And it was just, it was really heartwarming when my sister done that for me. It helped me a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good thing for us. I assume your older sister, yeah?
Yeah.
How much older is she than you?
She's about 4 years older than me.
Okay. I love that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Older siblings. That's what siblings should do.
Exactly.
I know that you've had a hard life at home. Well, I assume. What was family life like sort of through the years? So right from when you were younger, how was your relationship with your parents and your siblings? And how did that sort of progress?
I think early childhood had a lot of stuff going on in the background. So it was difficult in a way, in a sense. But with ADHD wise, it was just difficult maintaining relationships because they were difficult to understand. It was difficult to process the emotions that you feel in a relationship. Like, if I was to get into an argument or get upset, it would always be really intense. It would be intensified. So it was difficult growing up. I felt like a lot of stuff was blamed on me. Like, I was used as a scapegoat in my upbringing. Like, if someone done something wrong, they would blame it on me, and I would be an easy culprit because I was, you know, hyperana. Like, I was bad. So it was difficult. And then growing up in my teenage years, my relationship with my mum was, like, we did love each other. Of course we loved each other. She was my mum. I was her daughter. But there was a lot of frustration there, because when I was feeling all these emotions and I was feeling like I was, it was unfair, I was getting bullied in the family home, and I would voice my opinion, but it would be the point that when I have tried to voice my opinion before, it wasn't acknowledged. Like, it was just easier for my mum to just put it aside and not deal with it, because she had her own mental health issues, and I understand that. But then me not being able to talk about it with my mum, it would escalate, so then it would get to the point where I would explode. And then I would feel absolutely horrible afterwards. And I would be like, well, you are a bad person because you just exploded with anger and you're upset. But the way I see it, that's the way I saw it then. But the way I see it now is because I felt like I wasn't listened to. So I wasn't emotionally supported. So that was just my way of being able to express myself, because I wasn't taught how to deal with my emotions. So growing up was difficult, but I still had people there who loved and cared for me, so supported me.
Do you ever feel any residual guilt for things you did when you were younger?
Yeah.
Because I ask because I do.
Yeah.
You could speak to a therapist, or you could speak to anyone who would say, well, you shouldn't really, you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult not to, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was a kid. So I do feel guilty of some of the stuff I've done. Like, I would explode off with anger. So I do feel guilty for stuff like that.
And there's certain things you can't unsay, aren't there? Like, sometimes when you're feeling really, really upset.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just, I guess, because you're feeling so hurt or so alone, or...
I would say things out of anger. And after I calmed down, I wasn't able to take that back. And I said it, and I've got to accept that I've hurt my family. I've hurt my mum, I've hurt my sisters. Then I would feel really horrible because I wasn't able to control that, and I felt like I should. But at the same time, I was a child. So it is really difficult not to feel guilty about it. It is. You shouldn't, because you're a child, but it's easier said than done because, you know, it was wrong.
Yeah. So let's jump back to this point when it's gone really bad for you, and you're living in a shelter, right? Is that what I should categorize it as?
Hostel.
Hostel. hostel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you put in touch with Wendy. And at that point, mm-hmm. paint me a picture. What is life like there? Do you know anyone in the hostel?
I did know a few people from the hostel through a few people that were actually in high school with me. And I became close friends with some of them. Some of them I still speak to now. They're absolutely lovely. But there was some people I didn't know, and it was difficult living in a house with 10 strangers. But there was some people who I knew, so it was good. Like, I liked the independence that I had, and I was in charge of my finances. I was responsible for going out food shopping, paying my service charge. You had to pay a service charge for where I was staying. It was good that I got support, because it was a support accommodation, because we're all really young. So I had a key worker and a link worker that would help me if I was struggling with budgeting my money, if I was struggling with having a routine or cooking meals and stuff. Like, I would get support that way. So it was good being able to be independent and do that myself, but it was difficult because I felt quite alone because I was so young and I was in a hostel. But I got into college, and when I was at college, that's when I got in contact with Wendy. It was round about that time. So I was introducing myself back into education. It was called the Moving On course, and we would do some learning outside, and then we'd go into the classroom, and I got qualifications because it was a really relaxed environment. Yeah, so I was able to do that. And so on topic, sorry. When I got in contact with Wendy, it helped me a lot, because at that time I was recognizing more about my diagnosis and recognizing more about my behaviour, because it was affecting where I was staying, because I was really hyperactive in the hostel and I would get warning letters. I got a few notices that I had to leave the hostel for a week at a time. Then I would have a meeting to come back and discuss why I was asked to leave for that week, and it was usually all down to my behaviour. So my ADHD did impact a lot, but it wasn't just my ADHD, it was several things going on in the background with how I was moving out, how I left a family home, and etc. So it did affect that, me staying in the hostel, my ADHD. It risked my tenancy in a way, because I struggled with it and I didn't know how to control this. So we got in contact with Wendy, and at that same time I was at CAMHS for my therapy and my counselling and stuff, and they thought it was time. Like, I agreed to myself that maybe medication is a good idea, because it'll help me focus. It'll, you know, keep me level-headed in a way, instead of being impulsive and doing things without thinking first, because that was really bad. I was really impulsive. I wouldn't think before I'd done something, so it would end up in me, like, maybe hurting myself, or me having no money for the week because I spent it on doing fun things, didn't think. So I started taking this medication, and it helped a lot. It wasn't like other medication I had before in the past. Like, it didn't change how I felt within myself. Like, I had no side effects, like bad side effects. And I ended up gaining a really good routine and being able to wake up in the morning and go to college without any difficulty, being able to concentrate in the classroom. But at night time, my medication would wear off. So then, like, I had that time to, you know, enjoy and, like, be myself. And then I would take a sleeping tablet that was called biomelatonin. It's really common for young people to use that as a sleeping tablet if they have ADHD, because it's natural. And that worked for me. So I would still be able to get my sleep. I wouldn't be up at God knows what time in the morning listening to music or doing stuff, daft things with my friends.
Have you always struggled with sleep?
Yeah, I've always struggled getting to sleep, because I'm always wanting to do something. My mind's always racing. It's like I'm driven by an engine. I could be doing, I'm sitting down watching a film. Like, I find it really hard sitting down and concentrate on a whole film, like, for an hour and a half. So usually I pause it and I get up and maybe do something creative, or get in my spare bedroom and get my tools out and make something with the wood, like I make a shelf or whatnot. And then when I feel pretty chill and I've done something, then I'll go back and sit down and watch the rest of the movie.
What creative stuff do you do other than woodworking?
I love painting and decorating. I do a lot of painting and decorating. I got qualifications at college for doing that. So I'm always out and about helping everyone. Like someone's like, oh, Anna, could you help me decorate my living room? I don't know where to start. And I'm like, yeah, of course. So I go up with my tools and all my brushes and stuff, and I do it because I absolutely love it, because it's practical. Like if someone asked me to sit down with them and do an help them do an essay, I'd be like, I don't think so. It's not my cup of tea. I'm not able to sit down and I just find it boring. But practical work, like maybe like painting, decorating, it's always about getting up and doing something. I need that constant movement.
So you basically feel constantly restless. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah.
Do you find that it helps put your mind at ease actually moving around? So for some people, genuinely for some people with ADHD, they describe it as almost not really being able to think properly,
mm-hmm.
unless they're walking or doing something.
Mm-hmm.
That doing that thing, I guess because they're feeling so restless, it clouds their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Can you relate to that on some level?
Yeah, I can relate to that. Like whenever I meet with my friends, they're like, oh, come over and I'll have a cup of tea. Like, so I come over, but I'm not sitting down like they are having a cup of tea. I'm up and I'm patting their dog, or, you know, if their kid's there, I'm sitting playing with their kid with toys and stuff. Like, it's just not me to sit down. Like, I always have to be doing something, because I feel if I'm just sitting down, it's just that constant eye-to-eye contact, and it's just that person. It's really hard to concentrate on one thing. It's just easier for me to get up and walk about and talk. It just feels more comfortable.
Are you feeling restless now, this moment?
Yeah, can you tell? I'm moving about a bit.
No, actually not. No, I actually can't, but I did wonder. So I didn't know if you were maybe fidgeting or like tapping your feet or something, but I tend to, so I've got a little coil thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just ping that or something, because I get really, really restless. Do you have anything that you do that you fidget with?
When I was younger, and still to this day, whenever I'm having a conversation, I usually have something in my hand, just something to fiddle with. And sometimes it does distract me from the conversation. Sometimes I'll be listening to the conversation, but then I'll get distracted because I'm feeling this object. And I'm enjoying it because it's stimulation and stuff that's helped me be calm and present. So then I'll get back into the conversation and then be like, oh, I've missed that. What did you say? Like, then I'll have to ask. Like, so I'm always constantly asking, sorry, what were you saying? I just kind of went in my own wee world quite often. But a lot of people know that's me, and they just go back to what they were saying. But I can imagine it is frustrating sometimes, like they're having to repeat themselves, but that's just me.
I have to do that all the time. Mm-hmm. I have moments where someone's speaking to me, often my girlfriend, I'm ashamed to say. I realise that for like 2 minutes I've been thinking about something completely different, and I have to kind of pretend or just own up.
Yeah.
I have to gauge it based on whether or not I'm going to get away with it.
Yeah. So actually a few conversations I've had with my girlfriend, should be talking, and it's not that I'm not interested in the conversation, it's just I genuinely just switch off. And like,
yeah.
It was one time where I was over the other day, and we were going out and fishing, and I remember we got in the car, and I was like, oh, I just remembered something. I was waiting to tell her, and then I saw something in the field. I saw cows, and I was like, oh, look at the cows, they're so cute. And then I came back, and I was like, what was I talking about? I forgot, it'll come back to me. And then when I remember, I'm like, oh yeah, this. And then I would continue the conversation.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of things like that.
I think it's really important to have, in instances like that, to have people that understand you. You know, I feel like that's a really good argument for being quite open about your ADHD,
mm-hmm.
with people, because people can misinterpret that sort of thing.
Yeah.
People can think that you're not interested, or that you're self-centered, or that you're a million other different things. But if you have that kind of explanation of, nah, I'm just having a party in my head right now. I'm having a lovely time in my head. It's nothing to do with what you were saying.
Yeah. Like my girlfriend, when we're sitting down or whatnot, and I get up and I go like this with my Alexa, I tap, and then she's like, What are you way to do? Like, is this because I can't sit down?
I do the exact same thing. I sometimes just pat my girlfriend or something or whatever. Yeah,
Yeah.
bizarre. Anyway, listen, we're going way off topic.
Yeah,
I've got a question for you. What do you think that people misunderstand about ADHD? What if you could immediately change something to help, across the world that you wish people could understand about ADHD that would make your life easier? What would it be?
that it's a diagnosis. It's not just a label for badly behaved children. It doesn't define that child that they're bad. Like, it's having ADHD is actually, it's difficult. It affects you in all different aspects in your life. It affects relationships. It affects your organizing skills, timing, and it affects loads of things in your life. And I think people need to understand and just not judge before they know anything. Don't judge a book by its cover. Like, if you think that, then maybe instead of thinking that ADHD is bad to have and they're bad people and they're badly behaved, like, look into it and educate yourself before you say things, because ADHD is real. It's a real thing, and it affects people. It affects all different aspects in your life, not just in the classroom as a child.
Lorna, who's head of the ADHD group, often says, "You don't know what you don't know," which I think is quite reasonable. That I think there are a lot of people out there that simply just it's never occurred for them to look into it, You've helped out at the youth group a couple of times. Is that right?
Volunteer at the youth group. Yeah,
And you still do that?
I still do that. Just not just now because we're in, lockdown with the coronavirus. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about the kids there. So not specifically, because kids will want to protect their
Yeah.
anonymity, and I totally respect that. What are some of the likable characteristics of the kids that go to the youth group?
Well, every kid's different, but it's so nice to see that they all get along together. Like, there's no judgment at all. Like, I'm not going to say any names, obviously, for each child, but one child maybe would have Tourette's and they'd be talking to another kid who's got ADHD, and she's, ticking away, where Tourette's, and he's still able to have a conversation with her and not judge, and just so easily to look past that. And I just think that's amazing. So young, like, he's just so, they're just so accepting. And what I love about the kids is that they're so enthusiastic and they're very keen in learning things and, learning new things, or if they find something interesting, then that all their attention's on that. Like, they just want to know everything about that, whatever it is you're talking about. So yeah, my kids are they're good kids.
What do you think they struggle with? What are some of the common things that they struggle with?
Every kid's different. They all have different needs. But I would say what's most common is keeping on topic, staying on task. If we were to remember one time we were making pancakes, and we'd ask the kids to maybe wash their hands, and then they'd get distracted by, Lego that was out, or they'd get distracted by another kid if they were away doing something else. And it was just, and you just have to, like, prompt and reminding them. So there's difficulty in that with, like, focus. Maybe some kids are struggling at school, so emotionally supporting some kids if they're struggling at school and talking to them about what you're struggling with, and whether it be bullying or just changing subjects or going into maybe third year, so helping them, like, make sure that they're picking the right subjects for them and what they want to do. Just anything really.
Do you think they have a difficult time, a lot of them?
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, from the way I was when I was younger, I had a hard time, so I'm guessing that they would have a hard time too, because there is still a lot of people out there, a lot of teachers or even family members that don't understand fully, they don't have that insight. So I do think maybe some of the kids may feel like they're different, but it's just reminding them that everyone's different. You are you. You need to embrace it. Like, there's so many pros about it. Like, there's a few cons, like not being able to focus a lot of the time, but that's manageable with the right support. Like, there's so many pros. Like, when somebody with ADHD is interested in something, they would go far and beyond to learn more about that subject. They would put everything into it. Like, they're very determined, enthusiastic about things that they love.
Are there any other strengths you think of to do with ADHD that you maybe people don't notice or don't guess that they're there?
I would say motivated. You're always motivated to get up and do something. Like if, for example, you're bored, you don't know what to do, you would get up and you would find something to do because you have that drive, you have that energy, like, oh, I need to do something today. I don't want to sit about, because you literally can't sit about. Yeah, strong communicational skills as well. Like I've noticed people with ADHD are very open and they're very honest, and they just tell you how it is. It's really good to have a friend who has ADHD because they don't beat around the bush. They just tell you how it is. And that's the best friend you could have because they're honest. So there's a lot of good personality traits that come along with ADHD, 100%.
It's amazing what impact it can have on the people around you to be really open. I think for a lot of people who don't have ADHD, they actually, and this is a generalization, but I would say if I had to make a generalization, one of them would be that those without ADHD may struggle a little bit more than those with ADHD to be open. And I think that that's something, for me, something that ADHD brings is openness.
Yeah.
Because as soon as the person you're speaking to is open, it feels okay to be open yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And that helps everyone.
Very inviting. Yeah.
So what's early adulthood been like? You're 21, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's early adulthood been like? What's life like now? So what have the last 3 years been like, you know, roughly?
The last 3 years has been difficult, I'm not going to lie. Not with my ADHD, just from stuff that's happened. Like, my mum passed away 3 years ago. So that was really hard to deal with. But I've grown within myself, I feel, in this past year, just with recognising a lot about myself. I was also diagnosed with borderline personality disorder last year. So it's kind of been like a realization that, don't know how to describe it, give me a second.
Well, can I quickly, before you say anything, can I ask a question about what actually is borderline personality disorder? How do you understand that?
Borderline personality disorder is it's a personality disorder. and it's caused by environmental factors from your early upbringing. So with BPD, it's basically how you interact with people and how you process your emotions. Like, it's also known as EUPD. So BPD is more of an American term, that's borderline personality disorder, but it's also known as EUPD, which stands for emotional unstable personality disorder, which doesn't sound nice, so I prefer to say BPD. It's not that I'm incapable of dealing with my emotions, it's I struggle with them because when I was a child, I wasn't taught how to deal with my emotions correctly. So that's affected me in later life. So I've ended up to having BPD. It's a lot of environmental factors to do with trauma. So trauma from an early childhood that's affected me. It's really common to end up having BPD. So that's one of the main reasons why you will have it. So I was diagnosed with that last year. Then I've realised a lot about my upbringing and my past and stuff. So there's a lot of healing there within myself. And there's a lot of understanding that I was like that because of my upbringing. Like, that wasn't my fault. So I've kind of like started to, like, I do love myself, but this year it's been amazing. I'm so in tune with my emotions and I'm so understanding of why I am the way I am, and I've been receiving a lot of therapy, like helping with like my trauma as a child or regulating my emotions, because not being able to regulate your emotions, it's really difficult. And maintaining relationships, like with any relationship really, work, friends, family, partners, etc. So yeah, this year it's been really about, well, this year and last year it's been really about looking after myself and my mental health. So I've been out of work. I was in work. Last year I was at college doing construction, where I was doing painting and decorating, where I got my qualification. So I was on about earlier. And I was at work. But then I was in an abusive relationship, which ended badly. So I was in hospital for 6 weeks. And yeah, so then I got diagnosed from there. So it's just been all about looking after myself. So I've really just I've been out of work because I've been taking time to focus on myself and my needs mentally, and just taking care of myself and dealing with everything that I need to deal with so I can get on with my life and do what I want to do and get the dream job I want to do. You know, I can start learning to drive, which I'm saving for now. I'm excited. And then be a painter and decorator. Or if it changes, which it probably will, you know, and I'll get there. So right now it's just all about, you know, healing, self-love, and just putting the past in the past and dealing with it correctly so I can, you know, get on with my life and be happy within myself. Yeah, it's just all about that, really. So that's kind of why I got into volunteer with Wendy, because it's really rewarding helping people who were in your situation when you were younger. Because I have that, like, some people who don't have ADHD, they're really understanding towards it. Like, they have a lot of, like, they're really educated on it. But for me, it was like I have a personal background with it and I understand it from the child's way. So I thought, that's a great opportunity and it's really rewarding and it's, you know, so I was like, I'm going to do it. So that was my way of getting back into, you know, not work really, but like just getting back out there with my confidence, self-confidence and stuff. And yeah, and helping, because it's really rewarding.
Do you find it healing for you that it helps your own healing to help others?
I suppose in a way, really, because like I know myself that like I've accepted my diagnosis, but it's just like being able to help some children with their difficulties is really rewarding. And it is healing in a way, because it's like accepting myself, like, because when I was a child, I didn't feel accepted because of my ADHD. And just letting them kids know that they are accepted, it's just, it's like making a difference, it's changing, so it's really nice.
Do you ever have those moments with the kids where they do something and you think, like, I'm basically looking at myself at that age? Do you know, like, where it's almost like they do something that is characteristic of a younger you?
Yeah, and I think that's why I get on with the kids really well as well, because when they do things like that, I just find it so funny and just like, oh, that was like so me when I was a kid. And like, yeah, it's just really funny seeing that, like the similarities. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I've got two more questions, okay? And then I'll let you go.
Okay.
First is, what do you think a world without ADHD would look like?
Less creative, because you wouldn't have Richard Branson, so you might not have Virgin Media. Oh, there you go. Yeah, you wouldn't have Jim Carrey. So you wouldn't have his movie The Mask, if you've ever watched that.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Yeah, you wouldn't have Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith.
What a great show that is.
Yeah, brilliant show. You wouldn't have loads of things.
Yeah. Heather, who you maybe know, described it as ADHD as a little bit of chaos, which I really like. Mm-hmm. I think it's... You know, I think that those of us with ADHD should embrace the chaos a little bit, embrace the idea that we are the ones bringing a little bit of chaos to the world, because I think chaos has this bad rep, you know, that chaos is always negative. But I think sometimes throwing things off a little bit, doing something a bit different is how we progress, how we make it better, no?
Yeah, I think a lot of people with ADHD don't take life so seriously. Like, they're able to have fun. Not because they're immature or anything, like, it's just they're able to have fun, they're able to have a laugh, and it's just great.
Yeah. Last question. Why did you agree to do this podcast?
I agreed to do this podcast to, you know, spread some awareness and just tell my story a bit. If someone relates, then if it helps someone, then great. That's why I've done it. And I've also done it because it'll help people understand, like, if some people don't understand, if like their child's just been diagnosed with ADHD or someone's sibling has just been diagnosed with it, and maybe a podcast about how it affects someone, how it can affect someone's life, they would have that insight and they would understand it more deeply. So if it helps one person, then I'm happy, really. That's it.
Perfect. Thank you very much for doing that. That was great.